Now, Carrie, after they sprayed the mace, before they sprayed the mace, did you witness any recording devices, possibly see any recording devices on the officers?
Officer Warnall had one on, and I do recall that one. Perkins, I know he had one on, but I don't know if he had one on from the start, because he was on the passenger side in behind me, and so I didn't actually get to see him from the front until later.
So at this point, they've sprayed mace extensively in your mouth, in your eyes, and have saturated you.
Yes.
What happened from that point that you can recall?
I was still screaming from help, and they kept telling me to quit resisting, and they were grabbing my arms, but they weren't actually pulling me. They were using their fingers and fingernails and like clawing down my arms, and it was a bit slippery because I had the mace all over my arms. They both stepped away for a minute, and I was crying, and I had called him on the phone, and I had my phone with me the whole time. I had been videotaping it from the start, so I had the video on, and then I had called him as well and was trying to tell him what was going on and to come and help me. Jeff, my boyfriend, I had called him, and they had got back in the van at this point, and they had taken their thumbs, both of them, Warnall and Perkins, had taken their thumbs, and they pulled them up into my jawline. Warnall was on the left side of my jaw, and Perkins was on the right side of my jaw, and Warnall was kind of over the top of me, and Perkins was behind me, and kind of on my back and right side a little bit, and they put their thumbs up there and just held them in place and was still screaming for me to quit resisting, and I told them I wasn't resisting and I couldn't do anything. And then Warnall had taken one of his hands around the front part of my neck, and Perkins had two of his hands around the back part of my neck and had wrapped their fingers around and was squeezing my neck. In my opinion, I call that choking. And they were choking me.
So you weren't were you able to breathe at all?
For a few seconds, no, I wasn't. I was screaming. I was pulling their fingers off of me because they were choking me and I couldn't breathe. And I suppose it's normal reaction to pull somebody's fingers off of you to save your life, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had got their hands off of me, and they got back out of the vehicle again. That's when the ambulance had showed up, and they stepped away in the ambulance. There was a Mr. Gawadzinski and a woman with him, and they were asking, you know, if I needed help, and I told them I'd need help, and they was asking if I needed service, and I said yes, but I don't have insurance or Medicaid, you know, but I'm soaked in mace, and they were telling me to get out of the van, and I told them that I was in fear of my life, and I didn't feel safe to get out of the van because that officer was standing right there, and I didn't know what he was going to do. And the woman, paramedic, I guess, she had shrugged her shoulders and turned her head while making a sound. In my opinion, that was kind of a whatever. And so I, at this point, did not trust the paramedics with the ambulance for what they had just done as far as that. And then they had stepped away and Chris Looney had showed up. That was the third officer to arrive. And I asked him to help me, and I asked where the chief of police was, because when I called 911, I was asking for the chief of police. And they told me that he was off duty today, which was yesterday, and he wouldn't be coming down. And so the ambulance was telling me to get out, and they would help me. So I had went to start getting out, and Chris Looney come up. I still had my phone. I was still videotaping, and he grabbed my phone from my hand and threw it. And then I went to get out for the ambulance, and that's when Chris Looney and Andrew Warnall had grabbed me and threw me to the ground. And so I was just laying there, like, dead weight and just crying. And they had my hands behind my back and put the cuffs on, and they continued to say, "Stop resisting." And I told them that I wasn't doing anything. I'm just laying here. And I told them I can't see, and my face is burning, and my body was burning. And they had me stand up, and I told them that the cuffs were too tight because they were digging into my arms, and they said that it wasn't too tight. They put me in the back of the police car, and I'm gonna, can I back up on a couple parts? Or
go ahead.
At one point in the van, the officer Warnall had punched me in the head. And then when they had pulled me out of the vehicle, the paramedic Gawadzinski had said he was going to write me down as a refusal. I just forgot.
Refusal of treatment?
Yeah, that I was refusing treatment. I forgot to say that, so I don't know if I could back up.
So what you're saying is, you didn't trust the paramedics, and that's why you refused to go with them?
I didn't refuse. I wanted the help. In my opinion, I feel like they had tricked me, because I was getting out of the van to get service, and then that's when the police had grabbed me and threw me to the ground, and I didn't get the service. And the paramedic Gawadzinski had said that he would write me down as a refusal. But I never refused. So they had put me in the police car, and then had showed up, and he's a towing company or something. And they brought the drug dog down, and the drug dog had went around the van, and, you know, there wasn't anything in there, so they put him back in a vehicle, I guess. And I was still in the back of the police car, and Chris Looney had taken my phone and threw it into the back of the van. And then Looney, Perkins, and Warnall, those three officers, were standing between the two police cars, and they got an evidence bag. And Looney told Officer Warnall that he had thrown the phone in the van, which was leaving with the van from towing it. And they told Perkins to go where was going to and to get my phone for evidence. And then Warnall had taken my purse and put it on the hood of the police car. And he was searching through my purse, and then I have on the front of it, oh yeah, you can see here on this, he grabbed this, I believe in an attempt to completely rip it off, but it's still attached. Then I was in the police car with Warnall, and he was asking if I wanted to go to the hospital, and I told him that I had mace in my eyes and stuff, and I couldn't see, and I needed help. And he said, so do you want to go to the ambulance, or do you want to go to jail? And I told him that, you know, or excuse me, to the hospital, and I told him that I wanted to go to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital. This is all 2 hours later. So I had got to the hospital, and I'm crying. I'm in a panic attack. I was having trouble breathing, and I was coughing a lot from the pepper spray, and I had pepper spray like going down the back of my nose, like drainage.
Okay, and so you were treated. After you were treated, they took you into custody again?
Yes.
Okay, and then you were transported to Ray County?
Yes.
Okay, and were there any more incidences of them physically striking you or anything like that between the hospital and the Ray County Jail?
Yes.
What happened?
While I'm being treated, the hospital was able to get my left contact lens out, but not my right one. So I was still having a lot of trouble seeing, and especially because I had no lens in my left eye and one stuck in my right eye covered in mace. So, Looney had come in while the nurse was treating me and was yelling at me, telling me that I wasn't crying on the scene. So he didn't know why I was at the hospital, and I told him that I was. And he was yelling at me, telling me that it didn't matter. I was going to jail no matter how long I tried to stay in the hospital.
And the nursing staff at Carroll County Memorial Hospital witnessed this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They made him leave because my blood pressure, they couldn't get it because it was up and down and it was extremely high. And when he came in and was yelling at me, it was skyrocketing again. And so they made him leave the room, and he come back in later and sat down and read me my rights and asked if I understood, and I said yes. I had shook my head, and he told me to tell him in a verbal manner, so I said yes. And he explained that it didn't matter if I was doing 47 or 50, it's the same fine, and they could write down whatever they wanted, and told me that they could come back up to a year later after something has happened and still write a ticket for it, that it's Missouri law. And he told me that I was under arrest for resisting arrest, and I was going to jail. And he said that I was saying that I was in fear of my life, and I told him that, yes, I was. And he told me that I wasn't, and I haven't given a lawful reason as to why I was in fear of my life. And I told him that I will tell my lawyer. And he told me that Warnall was the arresting officer, and he's the one that's supposed to transport me, and wanted to know if he could transport me. And I told him, no, I'm scared for my life with him, as well as the other officers, and I did not feel safe, and I wanted somebody else to transport me. And they had gotten Bobby Turner, the chief of police, to transport me.
And then you were taken to Ray County and then incarcerated there.
Yeah, as I was leaving the hospital, Bobby Turner was in front of me and Looney was behind me. And as we were going out the door of the hospital, Looney had used his stomach to run into me from behind, pushing me forward, and which is assault as well, because it was I don't know what you would call it. It was intentional. It was hard. It was a hard thrust. With his body.
Huh? They have cameras there.
Yeah, they should. So it should be on camera. And that's when I was being transported. Also, in the van, I had told them that they were violating my First Amendment rights. And so during the transport, Bobby Turner was on the phone with Warnall, and they were laughing about what had happened and was talking about it. And Bobby Turner had said that I was stupid. I didn't know what I was talking about and that I had no rights. I didn't have any First Amendment rights. And he took me up there and dropped me off. And you
were held until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes. I was held for 24 hours.
This is Saturday, September 20th, 2014.
Yes.
Thank you, Carrie Robertson.
Thank you.